With God's help, we will continue our mini series on the seven I am statements of Jesus. We refer to them as the I am statements because they begin with the phrase I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. This afternoon, we're going to focus on the sixth I am statement of Jesus. Namely, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can find that in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says unto him, that is to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy, infallible word. Now, for us to better understand this verse, let's read verse 1. Chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 1. Jesus speaking, and He is addressing His disciples. Context, Jesus and His disciples are in the upper room on the night in which Jesus is betrayed. And so Jesus is preparing their hearts about His death. And so He says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or in the original, the word mansion should be better translated as room. So you can read it this way. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And so here Jesus is explaining the reason why He is going, why He is leaving His disciples. I'm going to my Father's house. He's talking about His ascension. And I'm going there to build you a house. And once I'm done building a house for you, I will come again. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus has been with His disciples for 3 years. And Jesus has talked about this multiple times. And so Jesus says, you know where I am going. You also know the way to where I am going. I'm going to my Father's house. You know where I go and the way. You also know that. And then in verse 5, here we encounter Thomas. And here he's concerned and even confused. And he says to Jesus, Lord, we know not where Thou goest. We don't know where You're going. And how can we know the way? Then in response to Thomas's question, Jesus says, I am the way. Thomas, you want to know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So really, in verse 6, the emphasis is on the way. The truth and the life are just describing the word way, because that's the main context here. Thomas wants to know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. So really, the three words that we encounter in verse 6, way, truth, and life, are closely connected. They are inseparable. And so, what I'm going to do is study them one by one. So I have 3 points here, although my first point will be longer, because like what I said, that's the main focus here, the way. So you can say, Jesus is the way to the Father. Second, Jesus is the truth from the Father. And finally, Jesus is the life in the Father. So first of all, let's look at Jesus being the way to the Father. Now, interestingly, here in our passage, Jesus not only tells us the way that leads to His Father, although that's the question of Thomas. Show us the way, because we also want to be there where you go. Show us the way. So Jesus not only tells us the way that leads to His Father's house, He also tells us that He is the way to His Father's house. Now, boys and girls, when God created Adam and Eve, and when God placed them in the Garden of Eden, Adam had that way to God. He could come to God anytime and anywhere. But when he disobeyed God, when he ate that forbidden fruit, that way, that bridge, as it were, that connected him to God was broken. And it was broken by his own sin. And that's why we read in Isaiah 59 verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from God." So picture this, boys and girls. God is standing here. And Adam is standing here. Before the bridge toward God was not broken. So he could come to God any time. But the moment he sinned against the Lord, that bridge was broken, so that now he could not come to God directly. Just recently, on March 26 of this year, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, informally known as Key Bridge or Beltway Bridge, disintegrated from the impact of a container ship that struck it. And so the bridge that connected people from one place to another, from point A to point B, was broken. That's what happened to Adam when he sinned. That bridge broke. That bridge broke. So that if Adam attempted to come to God, he would die. He would fall into this river. Like now, if you're going to cross that bridge, it was broken, you couldn't. You will fall into that river. You could die. You could drown. But we have this good news. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the bridge." And by the way, here in our passage, that word way is mentioned 3 times. Verse 4, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And then verse 5, Thomas says unto him, "Lord, we know not where you go, and how we can know the way. And then in verse 6, I am the way, says Jesus. Do you know that during the time of Jesus, His followers became known as the people of the way. Before they were even called Christians, they were known as people of the way. And so the people during the time of the apostles, when they looked at the Christians, again, like what I said, they were not called Christians yet at that time. They would say, those were the followers of Jesus. They were the people of the way. The people of the way. Why? Because Jesus often referred to Himself as the way to God. I sometimes wonder if the same can be said of us. Are you a person of the way? Are we people of the way because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He is our way to God. You know what's sad? In the society in which we live, we have this so-called philosophical, theological belief called pluralism. What does it mean? Well, according to this view, there are many ways or many roads leading to God. There are many means by which sinners can go to the Father's house. And they would say, to say that there is only one way is to be arrogant. If you insist that Jesus is the only way, you are narrow-minded. You are hateful. You are uncharitable. You are discriminating. You are offensive. You are unloving. And that's what we see today in our society. If you keep preaching that Jesus is the way, indeed the only way, because here we have the definite article, the. Jesus does not say, I am a way. No, because that would imply that He is only one of the many ways to the Father's house. But His claim here is absolute, definite. With the definite article, the, He is saying, there are no other ways leading to my Father's house. I am the only exclusive way. And then he adds, look at verse 6, please. The last part of verse 6. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You talk about exclusivism. This is an exclusive claim of Jesus. No man, and by the way, the word man there is generic. It refers to boys and girls and men and women, young and old. No person in this world can come to the Father but by me, says Jesus. Or in ESV, except through me. Because that preposition by in King James or through in ESV indicates the channel of the action. Now, what is the action here in our passage? The going to the Father. The going to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me, because Jesus is the only channel to God, to His Father. Not the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, not the saints, not Mary, only Jesus. And our forefathers would use the term, the phrase, solus Christus, which means Christ alone. Christ alone. There is only one way to the Father. No other way leads to the celestial city. In the Pilgrim's Progress, if you recall, there is a gate called Wicket Gate. Now, I remember when I was new to this book, I thought it was the Wicket Gate, but it's actually a Wicket Gate. This gate is entrance to the King's Highway that leads to the presence of the King. This is the narrow gate. And as we know, in the Bible, Jesus identifies himself as the narrow gate. So in the Pilgrim's Progress, the Wicket Gate represents Christ. Now remember when Goodwill talks to Christian. He says to Christian, "Come a little way with me, and I will teach you about the way you must go." Look before you. Do you see this narrow way? That is the way you must go. And Jesus talks about this narrow way, about this narrow gate in Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, by nature, we don't want to go through this narrow way because it is not convenient. Now, let's be honest. If you're going to, let's say, if you want to go to one place and you have two options, going through a narrow way and a wide way, broad way. Now, personally, I would choose the broad way. I can drive comfortably. I don't want a narrow way. It's not convenient. But you see, there are people today, they don't want this narrow way, this narrow gate. They don't want the way. They don't want Jesus because it's not convenient to follow Him. And so they would rather choose this broad way that leads to destruction. Someone said, "In the broad road, every man may choose a path suited to his inclinations, shift about to avoid difficulties, or accommodate himself to circumstances, and he will be sure of company agreeable to his taste. But Christians must follow one another in the narrow way." Now, this afternoon, you are either walking on the narrow way or the broad way. And there's no in-between, by the way. You are either walking on the narrow way or the broad way. Are you a person of the way? Because you are following Jesus, the way, the only way to the Father. Now, second, we learn too that He is the truth from the Father, the truth that reveals who God is. You see, Jesus is the perfect embodiment of truth. All that Jesus is, all that He does is truth. He is the perfect revelation of God the Father. He is the Logos, the living Word. We read in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." And as you may know, the word here, in the original, is Logos. So, "In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos, the Word, was God. You talk about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is so clear that Jesus is God. The Logos was, is God. And then we come to verse 18. It says, no man has seen God. By the way, you can go there if you want. John chapter 1, verse 18. This is so beautiful. John 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and listen now please, He has declared Him. Jesus, the Logos, has declared the Father. Now, in Greek, the verb declare here is exegesato, from which we get the English word exegete. So it means that Jesus has exegeted the Father for us. He has expounded, He has explained the Father to us. In other words, Jesus is the exposition, the exegesis, the interpretation, the explanation of the Father, because He is the truth. The truth from the Father, the truth that reveals His Father to us. He is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1 verse 15. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. And so apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can know the Father. And that's why He is the only way to the Father. Apart from Him, no one can get to the Father's house. And the implication of this is this. We see God the Father through His Son. And that's why when we go back to our passage, John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? To see Jesus is to see the Father, because He is the truth that reveals the Father. And that's why in the new heaven and new earth, and my children often ask me this question, are we going to see God in heaven, in the new heaven and new earth? The answer to that question is, what do you mean by the word God? The word God, this God has three persons. God the Father, the Son, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we cannot see the Father because the Father has no body. The Father is a spirit. We cannot see the Holy Spirit for the simple reason He is spirit, the Holy Spirit. But we can see Jesus because Jesus has a body like ours, glorified body, and we will be able to see Jesus. And Jesus says, to see Him is to see the Father. And you can even add that to see Him is also to see the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is the truth that reveals who God is. Yes, we can see God through His creation, because His creation declares His glory, as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. But His creation is insufficient to fully display the glory of God. And that's why even in salvation, creation is not enough for our salvation. Yes, creation can tell us who God is by looking at the sun and the moon and the stars. We will be reminded of who God is, that He is all-powerful, the God who created the world. But that's not enough. We need His Son, Jesus Christ. We need the Logos, the living Word, and the written Word, because the two are inseparable also. And that's why in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus claims to be the truth that can set us free. John 8, verse 31. Please read that. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." And then verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." My question is this: who is that truth that can make you free? Now, my question gives you a clue. I did not say, what is the truth that will make you free? But who? It's a person. It's not a what. It's not a thing. Yes, it's true that the Word of God can set us free. But in this context, the truth refers to Jesus Himself. How do we know that? Look at verse 36. Look at verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So it is the Son who will make us free. The truth shall make us free. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. And He is the absolute supreme truth. In Christianity, there is no relative truth. Again, our society has embraced this relativism, which simply means what is true to you may not be true to me. And what is true to me may not be true to you. And therefore, you cannot say that what you believe is absolutely true, except perhaps that statement that they use against absolute truth. And that's why they think this way. Well, for you, homosexuality is sin. But for us, it is not. Because what is true to you may not be true to us. There is no absolute truth. You cannot call this evil because we don't regard it evil. Living together outside marriage is okay. It's okay for us. Now, not for me, not for us. Like for the unbelievers, for the wicked, for the ungodly. For you, it is not okay. But there's no absolute truth. No, they are wrong. Because again, Jesus says, "I am a truth." No, 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 no. "I am the truth." With that definite article, again, Jesus is stressing the fact that He is the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth. The absolute truth. You know, in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you a king?" And then Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." And then Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" What is truth? He said to Jesus. But he did not give Jesus the opportunity to answer him. Because what Pilate did, as soon as he said those words, "What is truth?" he left Jesus. He turned his back on Jesus. you could almost have imagined Jesus would have said to Pilate, "You're asking me what is truth? I am the truth. I am the truth. Whatever I say is true or truth. Whatever I do is in harmony with the truth. All that I do is truth." And that's why His word is truth. "Thy word is truth," Jesus said. And we must therefore bow down before the authority of the Word of God. This afternoon, the God whom we worship is the God of truth. And that's why we need to worship Him. If you recall in our call to worship, we read that passage from John chapter 4. "He who worships God must do so in spirit and in truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, and in truth." In truth. We cannot just say, "Well, we can do this because it works." That's pragmatism. And I tell you, there are many churches today that operate in that manner, that they have embraced this pragmatism. Forget about God's truth, because if we keep preaching God's truth, people will be offended and people will not come to church. And trust me, I have heard many pastors say that. Now, of course, not in our circle, thankfully, but there are many evangelical pastors today who have espoused to that philosophical, theological view, pragmatism. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach against homosexuality, because you're going to offend people. Be neutral. Be relative in what you say. How can you do that when Jesus is the absolute truth? We cannot say, "Well, yeah, okay, I think you're true also. You're correct also in your belief that Allah is one of the ways to God. But I want you to realize too that Jesus is also a way to God. You can choose whatever you want, but after all, we worship the same God." Have you heard that? A lot of people would talk that way. "Well, we are the same. I go to the gym, and then we will start talking about God." And trust me, some of those people, they wear a necklace with a sign of the cross. And we start talking. And, "Oh, so you're a pastor." "Yeah, yeah, I'm a pastor." What kind? Protestant. You start with Protestant because they have no idea about the word reformed. And then, "Oh, Protestant. Yeah, are you born again?" No, I'm not born again. I'm reformed. Have you heard of that?" No. Then you try to explain and share the gospel. And then they will say, "Oh, yeah, we have the same belief." But before you know it, they have no idea about salvation by faith alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And they will say, "I think we have the same view." And you want to be sensitive too. You want to say, "I'm afraid that we don't." Like, "No, we're not the same." And you do it gently, but we cannot compromise God's truth. We can't. Even in the name of love. Yes, we speak God's truth with love or in love, but we cannot compromise God's truth for the sake of love, because we are afraid to offend people. No, we must declare that Jesus is the only way to the Father, that He is the only absolute, supreme, ultimate truth that reveals God, that apart from Him, no one can know who God is. And finally, He is the life. He is the life. The life in the Father. He is the one who gives us life because He is the source of life. And He is also the sustainer of life. So that apart from Jesus, no one can experience life. He is the one who imparts spiritual life. He is the one who gives eternal life. Colossians 3 verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." So Jesus is our life. John 1 verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." In Jesus, there is life. Outside Jesus, there is no life. Which means this afternoon, if you don't have Jesus, and you might be offended by this statement, so be it. And I want to say this to you with love. If this afternoon you don't have Jesus, then you are lost. You cannot go to His Father's house. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have the truth. And if you don't have Jesus, you do not have life. Even life everlasting. All that you have is death. But you know, what's ironic is this. Here you have the life. Again, with this definite article, the life. What happened to this life at Calvary? The source of life, the sustainer of life, died on the cross. The life became dead. So that we who are by nature the death. If Jesus is the life, we are the death. Because going back to the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, "Do not eat the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. The moment you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." There is death. They ate, they disobeyed God, and therefore they became death. And we all came from Adam. And so by nature, we are death. We are death. Jesus is the life. We are the death. But at the cross, we see that great exchange because our death was imputed to Jesus, the life. And so the life became death. He died on the cross so that through Him, He could impute His life to us who are by nature the death, so that we might become the life in Jesus. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Or in the words of the apostles, Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, "For He made Him, God the Father made His Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." The life became sin. He became death, for the wages of sin is death, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, that we might become the life of God in Jesus. And hallelujah to that, that the life died, that we might live with Him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. God says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Now, for us Reformed people, hearing the word choose, we get allergic to it. We right away associate this with Arminianism. Please don't do that. It's a biblical term. And indeed, God is calling us to choose this day. Two options. God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose Jesus, who is the life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. Is Jesus your life this afternoon? Can you say, yes, Jesus is my way, He is my truth, and He is my life? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this simple verse, simple truth, and yet it makes a lot of people feel very uncomfortable. For there is no in-between here. Either they are in Christ or outside Christ. Lord, bless your word in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for providing us the way to your Father and for giving us the truth. And for giving us life in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.